Please keep your Bibles open at Romans chapter 15. Now, for those of you who have ever worked in a shop or in a business of some sort, at some point, there's without a doubt, you've been there going about your daily business, and there's that knock on the door, or that person walks in, and it's the area representative for one of your suppliers. How many people have been in that situation? How many people have been area representatives? Oh dear, there's one in here tonight. There's always one, isn't there? Now these representatives, now they're employed by these companies to go out there and to do really two jobs. First of all, to sell people their products, and secondly, to provide customer support to people who already have the product, sorting out any little problems that they've got. So depending upon your relationship with the company in question, the arrival of a rep can make a hard day even harder, or it can be just the person you need to get the problem sorted out. Now, the illustration of being a rep is actually a fairly good illustration of being a Christian. Each one of us, we know, has got the responsibility to grow in godliness, to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, to be Christians, sharing Christ's love in this world, and to share the gospel. We are the Lord's representatives, and people do look at us, and, you know, we may get the same sort of reaction that a company rep gets when they go into a place. And I think there's three ways that people can respond. First of all, you can be that person and you walk in and you're the last person that they want to see. And you get a really cold reception. And it can be really, really difficult. And if you found yourself in that sort of situation, don't be disheartened. Everyone who's been a company rep, like Ray, knows that you've got to pick yourself up and keep on going and keep on sharing with the next person. That's right, isn't it? That's right, yes. And it's a shame with gospel witnessing as well. You know, when you share the gospel with someone and they just reject you, you just move on to the next person. And you've got to treat it as a fresh start each and every time. Of course, you may be just the person someone's looking for because they know that there's something wrong in their lives. They know that they need something, but they don't know what it is. And you walk in and you've got exactly what they need. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful place to be? We need to pray for more opportunities like that. That the Lord puts us in the right place at the right time with the right person. And gives us the right words to say. Because even when we're at the right time, in the right place, with the right person, we tend to muck it up, don't we? So we need to pray for wisdom there in our being able to share exactly the right thing at exactly the right time. And the third way that we can be received is when you've got someone who is a Christian and you're there and you're giving them some form of encouragement. Sharing something with them of eternal worth, something from God's word, just giving them that little boost that they need. And in that way we're all able to support one another because we all go through good times when we can encourage others. And we go through difficult times when we really need the support and love and care from the people around us. So how do you feel about being a representative for the Lord Jesus Christ? That sounds like a big responsibility, doesn't it? Now in the secular world, when they're training reps, one of the things that they do is they get a really experienced rep. Someone who really knows the job all the way through, like Ray over there. Someone who really knows it. And then he'd go in and he'd talk to the junior reps and really give them the skills of the trade, help them out in the things that they need to do. And as we look at this passage from Romans 15, I think that's what we've got here. We've got the Apostle Paul, who is undoubtedly a senior representative, and he's talking to these Roman Christians, who are junior reps, and through God's word, he's talking to us as well, who are also junior reps. So there's some hints and tips that we can pick up from this passage to help us out in the area of responsibility that we have got. So we're just going to go through and pick a few things out from this passage, and we're looking for tips into being the sort of person that the Lord wants us to be, being his representative. So what's the first tip? The first tip is a loving spirit. Look at the way he speaks to the Roman Christians there in verse 14. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competence to instruct one another. He calls them his brothers. He's there alongside them. And it's such a warm greeting. It's so friendly. And he's really building them up. And that's great to see. He talks about how they're full of goodness, how they're complete in knowledge, and how they're competent to instruct one another. He's seeking to build them up. And we see that all the way through the book of Romans. When Paul writes to other Christians, like the church in Corinth, the first letter there, he says that those people are full of knowledge, but they can't put it into practice. They're not full of goodness. And they're not able to instruct other people at all. And when you read the letter to the Corinthians, it's quite a scathing letter that corrects them on all sorts of points. But these Roman Christians that he's talking to, he's seeking to build them up. They're good, mature Christians. They're full of goodness as well as knowledge, and they can teach others. Wouldn't it be great to be like that? You know, full of knowledge, able to teach others, and good as well. And having that goodness is an absolutely essential thing. All those things combined together makes us into good, mature Christians. But the thing is, with being good, solid, mature Christians, it means that we must never, ever forget the foundational truths of the gospel. And that is why Paul has written the letter to the Romans. If you look here in the next couple of verses, it talks about how from verse 15, I have written you quite boldly on some points as if to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave for me. These people who he's building them up by taking them back to the basics. And that's a lesson there for us. All the way through Scripture, time and time again, we see God returning his people to the basics. Because we know what it's like. We can be really keen. We can be fascinated in certain things. And we can head off down blind alleys and become specialists in areas that... And we're the only ones who really appreciate the importance of that area. And if we just convince everyone else that we've grown up. It's so dangerous to fall into that sort of thinking. We need to keep returning to the basics. This is why the Lord gave us the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread. All the time returning us to the cross, to the place where we are saved. And when we can live like this and keep on reminding ourselves of the basics, it keeps us grounded. When I was at Bible college, I heard a story that came out of the third year Greek class. And these were the really clever students. It wasn't me, I only did 1 year of Greek. No, that was enough for me. But these third year Greek lads and lasses, they love their computers. And they had all these fancy, really expensive computer programs that did all the Greek for them. And they passed the first year when they weren't allowed to use them, and then they were allowed to use them like that. It's like when I did GCSEs and you weren't allowed to use a calculator until you got to a certain age. But in the third year, the lecturer said, right, put your computers away. We're going to give you some first year Greek to do. The basic stuff. And they couldn't do it. They got so reliant upon their technology and so into the advanced stuff, they've forgotten the basics. And in whatever subject we find ourselves interested in within Christianity, within theology, within doctrine, we must never lose sight of the basics. Paul, as a good rep, is reminding these junior reps of that. You mustn't let go of the basics. So he's got that loving spirit, and he's very gently pointing them to the fact that they need to have the foundational truths absolutely at the centre. The second tip we've got is about the value of the gospel. I'm going to use another personal illustration because I know this one is true. But years ago when I worked in the pharmaceutical industry, we used to have a little saying, which was, you know, we're not making rubber ducks. And that was usually said when we were busy going through all the extensive regulation and absolutely ridiculous paperwork that we used to have to do in order to make anything. And the reason they said that is if you make a rubber duck, they're not going to hurt anyone. We were making medicines to inject into sick people. Everything had to be spot on and perfect. And we put great value on that because we knew the importance and value of our product. And it had to be just right. Now, when it comes to being Christian representatives, we've got something which is far more important than an injection or a medicine or a pill which makes people feel physically better. We've got the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only message that can save people from a lost eternity in hell. Do we really value the importance of the gospel? Can you be a representative in a secular company if you don't value what you're trying to sell? Well, you can if you're a con artist. But if you're a genuine representative, you've got to really believe in what you're selling. As Christians, do we really believe that the gospel is the answer to people's needs? Do we really believe it? I'm pleased someone said yes then, because it is. It is the answer to people's needs. And we've got to really keep focusing upon the gospel, because we live in a world of hurt, a world of pain. And people are often looking for something which makes the pain go away. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was talking about this, and he was talking about the difference between a good doctor and a bad doctor. And a bad doctor, when they come, a patient comes in to see them, they say, "Oh, I've got a pain in my side," or something like that. They just prescribe them a painkiller to take the pain away. Is that a good thing to do? Because it's not at all, because the pain indicates that there's a deeper problem there. And a good doctor sits down, and they may not give you something to take away the pain, but they're going to ask you all sorts of questions to find out what's really going on. And they're going to deal with the underlying problem. That's the purpose, to actually heal someone. We live in an age when people have got all sorts of pains. They struggle with substance abuse. They struggle with a lack of money. They'll struggle with depression, with family problems, with empty lifestyles that are just filled with empty pleasures, and they realise that there's nothing there. And they'll come along to the church and they're looking for something to take that pain away. But they're not looking for something that deals with the deeper problem. The deeper problem is quite simple. They're not in the right relationship with God, and they need the gospel message. When people come in, do we seek to sort out their superficial symptoms or the real problem? We seek to sort out the real problem first, and then we can deal with the other things later on. But getting people in that right relationship with God is the thing that we do first. And then we start thinking about the other things. And we can only do this if we really value the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's our second tip, to really value this gospel. The third tip is really thinking about our area of responsibility. Now, most companies, when they operate reps, each rep has got a region that they're called to work in. And the same is true with the gospel. The Lord appoints certain people to certain regions. And we see from here, the Apostle Paul, he was an extra special rep because he was a groundbreaker. He went to places where the gospel had never been proclaimed before. Now for us today, it's very, very difficult to be like that. There may be some Amazonian tribes that are unreached, that have never been exposed to the gospel before. And there are parts of the world where, for generations and generations and generations, and the gospel has not been proclaimed. But for most of us, we're never going to encounter these people. But the Lord may speak to you, and he may take you out to one of these areas, and that's an exciting calling to have. But for most of us, we're not called to be groundbreakers. Not like the Apostle Paul. Being a groundbreaker is actually very hard. Have you ever considered how hard it was for the Apostle Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles? He was a Pharisee. He'd been brought up to consider Gentiles as dogs. No better than pigs. Filthy, disgusting people. People that had no chance of being right with God. And then the Lord sent him to the Gentiles. Being a groundbreaker is really, really difficult. That was Paul's area of responsibility. And in obedience to his Saviour, he went out amongst these masses. People that he realised were made in the image of God. People that he realised that the Lord wanted to reach through the gospel. And as he stepped out in obedience, he was able to establish churches from Jerusalem all the way around to Ilirium or something, whatever it's called. Apparently it's up in Albania or old Yugoslavia. It's up there. There's no record of him going up that far in the scriptures. But he says there that he went that far with the gospel. He's constantly driven to new places, establishing new clients. And now he wants to go to Rome, use Rome as a resupply visit, and then he's going to head off. He did go to Rome, but not quite in the way that he thought, but we'll be thinking about that in coming weeks. That was Paul's responsibility. What about our responsibility? The Lord has placed each one of us here in this area at this point in history. We've been reminding ourselves that God is in control. He's in control of all things, which means if you're here, this is the place where the Lord wants you, unless he speaks to you and asks you to go somewhere else. Which means that this is our area of responsibility. You know, we're the area reps for this region of Heinberg. This is the little patch that the Lord has given us. And it's our job to be taking the gospel out there. And it can be very challenging, can't it? Because while we're not breaking new ground, we are dealing sometimes with some very hard-hearted people. And we don't have the giftings of the Apostle Paul. We look at him and the things that he endured and the things that he suffered and the things that he did, and we go, how can we ever measure up to him? The thing is, the Apostle Paul recognises that everything that he's done has been done because of the Lord working in him. That's the key thing. As we go through this, if you just give a superficial reading, it almost sounds like he's boasting. But he's not. All the time, he's pointing to the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's working through. That's our next tip, remembering that it is the Lord's work. And if you feel poor and weak and ill-equipped to be the Lord's people in this area, remember that you've got the same Holy Spirit in you as the Apostle Paul had. And he gives each one of us different gifts. The Apostle Paul, he had a huge selection of gifts, which means he had great responsibility. We may not have the same gifting, but we're called to be faithful. Faithful with the gifting that the Lord has given us. Now that doesn't mean that, you know, we're all going to go and stand on a soapbox down in Tangate and start preaching to the odd person who walks by, or go down to somewhere where it's a bit busier and preach to the crowds. But we're called to be the Lord's people here. And when we're faithful in the things that the Lord has asked us to do, then we are being his representatives in this area. Because we know that as a church, we work together as a body. And as we work together in obedience to him, we need to make sure that we acknowledge that he is the one who is working through us. All of the glory goes back to him. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Battle of Waterloo. And who won the Battle of Waterloo? Wellington! There we are. Someone knows their history. Did Wellington really win the Battle of Waterloo? Or did the tens of thousands of soldiers under him actually win the Battle of Waterloo? I think it was the tens of thousands of soldiers under him who actually won the Battle of Waterloo. All of the glory went to Wellington. And it was through Wellington, really, that the army was supplied. He was the one who would have been involved in sorting out their training, their uniforms, their weapons. He was the one who was involved in the tactics and the strategy. He was the one who gave them encouragement when things were particularly bad. But it was the person on the front line who actually fought the battle that the glory went to Wellington. In our service of the Lord, all of the glory goes to him. He provides us with all the things that we need. He encourages us when we're down. He's the one who is there, and he knows the tactics. He knows the strategy. We're just the privates on the front line. We are. The Apostle Paul, he was probably on the general staff. But we are the people who are there in the thick of it. And that's just a helpful way of seeing of how we can all work together as Christians and make sure that all of the glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ by remembering that he is in charge and we're just being faithful to him as we serve him. You know, it's wonderful what he asks us to do. I've just got one other thing to pick out from this passage. And as we look at this passage, just cast your eye down over it. And look at how many times it talks about God, talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, talks about the Holy Spirit. And we can see how God the Father, our Saviour, and the Holy Spirit are all working together on our side. Isn't that encouraging? God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in this sort of work. And this is one of those sort of meaty, deep truths that we see in Scripture. Whenever God works, we always see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit working together. Sometimes we have to think about it. We have to dig deeper and really ponder what's going on. But God always works together. Now, this is one of the deep secrets of the Trinity. There is one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The more you think about that, the harder it becomes to understand. But this is one of those passages that convinced the early church that the Lord Jesus was equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit was equal with the Father and the Son. How all three of them are equal together. So it's an important little passage as you go through and just see how the terms are used about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But all three of them always work together. Which is why as a church we should always seek to be Trinitarian. Some churches, they always emphasise one member of the Godhead at the expense of the others. And as you go around the different denominations that are out there, you can pick out ones that emphasise God the Father, you can pick out ones that emphasise just the Lord Jesus Christ, and you pick out ones who can just talk about the Holy Spirit and no one else. If we're to be true to God's word, we need to hold God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in equal esteem. Because that's what the Apostle Paul's doing here in this passage. So we should be Trinitarian in everything that we do. So as Christians, passages like this should really, really encourage us. Paul, who did such great things for God, only did these things because of the Holy Spirit working through him. And he made sure all the glory went to the Lord Jesus. We have the same Holy Spirit equipping us. And while we may not be called to the other side of the world, but if you want to go to the other side of the world and you feel the Lord's calling you, we can always investigate that and pray about that. It does happen. I got called away from Sussex to Lancashire. But we are, yeah, look at me. We are the Lord's people here in Hindburn. And the lost folk around us, on the streets around us, need to hear the gospel just as much as that unreached tribe in the Amazon. They're all made in the image of God. And wherever someone isn't a Christian, they need to hear that gospel message. And who is going to share God's love and the gospel in this area if we don't? Who's going to do it? The Lord has placed us here as his representatives. And that means we need to seek to be faithful in the calling that God has given us. Being a Christian is not some sort of hobby we do in our spare time. But it's what we are, each and every day. As you look at this passage, there's a little bit where Paul starts talking in priestly language. And he starts talking about the Gentiles being an offering to the Lord. And it's the only time in the New Testament that he uses these terms. And to understand that, we've got to go back to the beginning of Romans 12 and think about us being living sacrifices. So as Paul shares the gospel with people, he's seeing these people being transformed by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and becoming living sacrifices, an offering to God. And that's where we should be, each one of us as well, seeking to be living sacrifices. A fragrant offering to the Lord each and every day. not just when we've got a few spare hours or between holidays or something like that, but all the time. This is where the Lord has placed us, and he's called us to be his area reps.